Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. Alistair Tremblay-Birchall is his name.
Yeah, and Andy Matthews is his also name. Welcome, everybody, to the podcast. Obviously, we love you. That is the main thing.
We're doing that on the front. We're getting it out of the way. We're saying, look, obviously, we love you. We're like having an argument with our partner. All right, we want to lay the ground rules. We say, look, obviously we love you.
Yeah.
All right.
And now I'm going to say
a bunch of really horrible things.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, obviously I love you. Okay. Because I said that to begin with, I've framed the debate. All right. And it doesn't matter what happens from here on in.
That all of these things come out of love.
That obviously they all come from love. You know.
No, that's a great technique. Although you don't ever hear anybody sort of getting away with anything based on having done that.
No, it's not a good defense.
Okay.
Like legal or physical.
A good defense is like a shield or like a
Or
like a tower with guns.
Yes. Or high ground.
High ground. So if you sort of had like a shielded high tower with guns that's on top of a hill.
Yes.
And then you said, now this is coming from, now remember, I have a honey, I have a shielded high tower on top of a hill with guns.
So this is all coming from a place of high gun
defense.
Now, would it also help if that high ground was somehow like a mound, but made out of like liquid? Like if you were on a hill, like obviously it's good to be on a hill.
Yeah,
but the thing about a hill is people can just climb up it.
Right? Oh, you mean you're suggesting some kind of moat mountain?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like if that could be a pile of water, right? Like a standing wave.
Yeah, standing wave. Well, they have those in Thailand.
There you go.
Yeah. And it's about time they create something since the red curry.
The Penang.
Oh, the Penang.
The gang Penang.
Wait, I think Penang might be Malaysian.
Oh, really?
Well, Penang is a place in Malaysia, right?
Yeah, but I thought it was named after their favorite Thai curry. Look, you know when you're like
I think that if you could go back in time.
Yes.
What you could do is you could go back to the medieval times and you could bring them standing wave technology.
Yeah.
Sort of a lot of sort of Thai tourism technology.
Yes.
Right. And convince a lot of kingdoms to build their castles on top of on a place that is surrounded by things, which I guess will keep enemies away but also bring tourism in.
Now there's a common saying, don't build your castles on sand, right? And people usually take that to mean we'll build it inland. But, you know, sand is very often the boundary between the sea and the land. So it's very much still possible to build the castles on the sea.
Yeah, I think maybe you could build it on sort of solid ground.
Yes.
Maybe. Put in a sort of in-ground pool around
it. Yes.
But then one of those, make it kind of like a saltwater in-ground pool.
Mm-hmm.
And then line the outer part of the in-ground pool with sand to kind of make it sort of beach-like.
Right.
So that you're still getting that kind of...
The beach, because people love the beach.
People love the beach.
Yes.
And maybe people who are coming as your enemy will show up at the beach and become friends.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know?
I do know, yeah. And the answer is yes, they will, because the beach is where friends are made. I also feel it'd be good if instead of water it was custard, just because to me that's visually funnier. And I know that you can technically run up custard, but you have to maintain speed, so people would be trying to run up your standing wave of custard to get to your castle.
Yeah,
your,
but the custard
your
will
wave
be
top castle.
The custard will be moving.
The custard is moving.
Yeah, the custard will be on the move.
Well, the individual molecules of custard are moving, but the emergent phenomenon of the wave is stationary.
Yeah, right.
Because it's a standing wave.
It's a standing wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what a standing wave is, I'm sorry, we've wasted your time.
No. You can Google the quick YouTube, take five.
Yeah.
Go to YouTube, watch some people wiping out. And this is the problem. You will wipe out your enemies.
Yeah, that's really good.
With a standing...
It'll be a total wipeout.
Yeah. I was trying to find some kind of saying. This is back when I was talking about that the beach might also convert some of your enemies into your friends.
Yeah.
Saying that, you know, the best defense is a good, oh, friends love the beach. Right, but I couldn't think of a good one for that, you know.
I'm going to struggle with that one, Alistair. Maybe we'll throw that out to the listeners.
Hey guys, if you got any puns that relate to a person who's built a standing wave made out of custard and a sort of beach moat around their castle, and we're talking about converting enemies possibly into friends when they attempt the sort of the custard beach. If you've got any puns related to that, we send them in to @2intank on Twitter.
And make it sure it's an original pun as well. Don't just go to your Philip Adams big book of Ripper Aussie puns about standing wave castles.
No, of course
and
not.
Beaches and friends.
Actually, don't go to the big book of Ripper puns of any country.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Hey, is Antarctica?
Yes.
It's a continent.
It's a continent.
But is it a country?
No. What it is it's like a pie where everybody's called dibs on a slice of the pie, but nobody's allowed to touch the pie.
Well, they're putting their mitts on it, but they're not allowed to like enjoy it. So they can sort of smell it and they can look at it,
and you can really like lick the pie and ruin it for everybody else. So they're not going to want to touch the pie, or they're not going to want to eat the pie.
Yeah,
but they can't. You know, like when we go to a new country. We discover a land, which has probably been described by someone else beforehand. But anyway, you put a flag on there.
Yeah.
That is the country version of licking a pie.
Yeah, licking the side of a Mars bar.
Mm. Do you think that, like, we could do something with that?
But that there's other people who are going to be grossed out because your flag is on. I don't want to live here.
Or alternatively, you know, an explorer lands on some land, and then there's a French ship coming over the horizon, and so they lick it really quickly. And so the French are like, oh, gross, no.
They lick the land or they lick the ship?
They lick the land.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be weird if you lick the ship.
I mean, in a way, that's what the ocean is constantly doing to land.
It is giving a wet kiss to the land.
Just crawling up it and then moving back. It's a bit hot and cold.
It is gross. Like if I was the land, I would feel very like encroached upon by the ocean.
I wouldn't be surprised if the next big player to get called out in the media is the ocean.
Wow.
Yeah. you know that it's been sort of crawling up and down land's leg. For too many years.
Yeah, and tickling at shore. And, you know, I think sea level's rising. Obviously, it's getting worse, right? It's getting more cocky because nobody has said anything, right?
Yeah. Or you know, a lot of people have said things, but the important people aren't doing anything about it.
Right.
You know, and it's always those people in power who have the power to, you know, try to make these things stop, that we need those people to get on board and stop this thing from happening.
Okay, so is that, I mean, and also the ocean is notorious for luring people into it by appearing to be sort of calm and peaceful and trustworthy, and then maybe a rip will drag you in, or you know, something,
or a tentacle, a dirty tentacle. Yeah.
So I don't know if this whole idea is hugely problematic, but I think it is a sketch, and I think it could be made to work in some way. I also think that you've already written down Moat Mountain.
Yeah, I've already written down Moat Mountain. Andy, what do you think I am?
I'd be intrigued to hear your idea of what the format is for the Moat Mountain sketch. Alistair, go.
I don't know. Look, I mean, I guess a simple, you know, if we went as simple as pitching defense to, you know, I mean, you said in medieval times,
right?
But he's just come back from a trip to Thailand, like the guy.
Yep.
And he says, got a great idea while I was there. You ever seen a standing wave?
And they're like, no.
Well, because you know how high places are a great defense. You know, it's always good to have a height advantage. Even on one-to-one combat, you know, in martial arts, if you're like three steps above somebody, you know, on like a stairs.
Yeah.
That is a good weight. That's a good advantage.
That's not really hand to hand anymore, is it? That's sort of foot to hand.
Foot to face.
Foot to face.
Yeah. It's foot to face combat. Yeah.
Yeah. Hand to hand. Like, what are you getting out of hand to hand? What, you're just punching the other person in the hands?
In the hand, yeah. But, you know, you hear about fists breaking a lot. So whoever has the most durable fists.
That's interesting.
You know, and I do think that fists are the heads of the.
The arm?
Of the arm, yeah.
I think that's fair.
Which is kind of like, you know, like how deer and sort of those bald dinosaurs dealt with stuff. A lot of the head ramming.
Yeah, so you think really it's punching is really sort of headbutting.
Yeah, punching, especially, yeah, punching is headbutting. It's arm headbutting.
Yeah. I think that's very good.
Yeah.
I think you could also have... Like maybe like a Sun Tzu, like the art of war, but he's writing it, and he, you know, one of the things is, you know, obviously a height advantage is ideal, but if it's you know, high water,
oh, so absolutely,
whatever, man, fuck.
Well, you know, I know we don't really do any kind of pun based sketch ideas anymore, but I just wonder whether anybody who's interested in the sport of cricket. Whether anybody ever released a book called The Art of War, and it's about the Waugh brothers, or Mark Waugh, or Steve Waugh.
I am absolutely sure that there has been at least one war pun-based war book about the Waugh brothers, where war is spelled W-A-U-G-H.
Feels like it would have been All That Happened during the time of their reign.
I mean, there would have been so many articles, so many bloody... newspaper.
And if they hadn't have thought of it, I mean, it would have been a real, I guess all of sort of the media, I guess, would have been letting down the world, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just another missed opportunity to do a war pun. I mean, how often do you get a cricketer who comes along, or any kind of public figure who comes along, whose surname basically is like a word which we have so many sayings about, right? Like the only way it could be better would be if you had a cricket player whose surname was Cricket, or like Good at Cricket, or Batman.
Batman, yeah, or Two in a Bush. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
You know, because that's a saying, you know? One in the hand, two in the bush. If his last name was Two in the Bush... Like Mark Two in the Bush.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd have so many opportunities to make puns.
Especially if there was another one, another cricketer called Bird in the Hand.
Yeah.
Right? And he had been traded in because Two in the Bush had an injury.
Yeah.
But fortunately, Bird in the Hand... What had just come off a ripper season in the Sheffield Shield, right, and was available to be drafted by the Australian Cricket Board.
And so he
they would have been crazy not to.
To not do it then in that sort of circumstance. Yeah.
Do you think fuck. Because the famous Abbott and Costello who's on first, what's on second sketch.
Yeah.
Right. That is like the definitive comedy sketch that gets pointed to all the time. It's a fucking shit sketch. Sure. It doesn't make any sense. It's really dumb and so long and boring. Right, like there's no like what there's no logic to it. Like, look, why do these people have these fucking names that just happen to make your sketch work? Like, where you're asking us to accept a universe in which the sketch is funny.
I think that would be a fun idea, is to do that, but with their names somehow being exactly that. Like what you're saying is like a convenient.
Punchline.
Convenient punchline name?
Yeah.
Wait, who's on first?
Convenient punchline name is on first.
And then,
yeah, and then the sketch somehow continues from there.
Yeah. Look, we'll have to figure it out. I think this is going to take... Look, it's just mathematics, those kind of sketches.
Yeah. You just sit down with a slide rule and a...
And a
abacus,
and I guess your maths teacher.
Yeah. Mr. Boyle.
Mr. Boyle.
Mr. Boyle.
I think I had Mr. Ware.
Well, that's a very good...
Where's on first?
I think, like, even just a version of the sketch that just doesn't work at all. Because somebody that wears on first.
When's on second?
Oh, this is painful to me. I think.
What about how's on first? Because it kind of is kind of closer. How's on first? What? No. What's on the bench? No. Wait. How?
I think. Is it like There's something in this, like whether it is the drafts. The people drafting the players for the cricket team, whether or not they actually give active consideration to the surnames of the people on the team, and whether or not, like, you've got to be like, well, think about the headlines for this guy. This guy's surname is very good batsman. I just feel like it's going to be, it'd be crazy not to have this, you know, pick this person because, well, firstly, if we don't pick them, the article will read, very good batsman not selected for the cricket board. Like, he's got us over a barrel here. Okay, we're going to look like idiots.
Yeah.
Okay, that you can see the headline tomorrow.
Which
cricket board doesn't select very good batsman.
That's gonna look terrible for
and
us.
This guy, his stats are amazing, but his surname is incompetent behind the crease. And... I don't think we can sell. I think we're going to lose the media cycle.
The backlash we got for letting go of the one in the hand. Look, there's something in this idea. But again, I think it's a puzzle sketch.
It's a puzzle sketch. It's a puzzle sketch to be pieced together.
We must piece together.
And it's very like any puzzle. It's satisfying to see solved, but very boring to watch somebody else do it. So we're not gonna do that in front of you,
or inside of you, as our voices currently are.
Oh my god!
Because I mean, when you're listening to stuff, you don't really hear it to the side. You kind of hear it like it's right in the middle of your head, isn't it?
Well, like it's within the skull, right? Like the noise gets down inside the ear canal. And vibrates your eardrum, and and so on and so forth. So our voices are right now is within your head, right? And that's obviously a very privileged place to be, right? A voice in your head, really. In that sense, all voices are voices in our head, which,
that's true. That's where you hear voices.
That's where you hear voices. Like, where else would you?
I've got voices in my foot.
See, now you're crazy.
That's
now,
crazy.
Now.
And I think that's how they actually
That's the scale of crazy.
Because I mean, like, look, there's got to be some rules for getting into mental institutions, especially they've shut down a lot of them.
Yep.
Right, and they can't.
They're just more exclusive, right?
Yeah, they've just made them more exclusive. Mm. They've set the bar higher, and there's got to be a thing that people say so that they know, like, it's an exclusive club, so that they know that you're truly, like, mental.
So it's like the equivalent of, you must be this tall to ride the roller coaster. Mm. You must be this crazy to be institutionalized in this place.
And I've got voices in my head, is the classic, oh, I'm crazy, as portrayed by the media.
Mm.
And so if somebody's is faking it, that's probably what they're going to use.
That's what they're going to go with.
If they just want a free bed and they want to hang out in a mental institution, right?
And a real, real comfy walls.
But if you name another part of your body where you're hearing heads, I mean, not hearing heads, you're hearing voices.
Mm. Mm.
Anyway, I don't think that's a sketch.
No, I don't. No. I'm, you know, it's, if it is, it's probably not on the right side of history, Alistair. And I don't want to be on the wrong side of history. Because you know where the wrong side of history is?
Where?
The past.
Somewhere over the wrong side of the history.
I guess the wrong side of history is before stuff happened, right? Like, like if you're on the wrong side of the Battle of Hastings, well, then you're probably sometime in 1064 or something like that.
Wait.
Alistair,
if you could go back in time, would you go back to the wrong side of history?
Be interesting.
Mm.
What would you do, Al? Would you go back to the wrong side of...
Like, as in, like, just go back there and say tons of awful things?
Yeah.
What does that mean to be on the wrong side of history? So it means that you're, you know, like, society has moved to a certain point where we don't...
We look back and we're like, oh, that was definitely wrong.
That was a bad thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so... You want to be on the right side so that when people look back at your life, if, say, it was recorded in a podcast form and it was stored in some archive forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Libsyn or Omni or something like that.
What you want to be doing is you want to be putting yourself in a context where, just by comedic necessity, you very often say a lot of things that you don't necessarily agree with or believe in, right? So that no matter what happens, there's a permanent record of you adopting a series of shameful positions, which probably in the future will be taken out of all context, and all the context will have disappeared or will be meaningless, and all that will remain will be your inappropriate statements.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's
what you want. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Common sense.
Well, I guess then we don't need a time machine to go back to the wrong side of history.
No, we're already there.
We've built a machine. We've built a trap for ourselves. Luckily, we don't plan on achieving too much, and no one will want to take us down.
That is my plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is interesting, isn't it? Like, you can sort of just lie low, but low profile, right? Like,
yeah, I think it's like having a nice car. Mm. If you have a nice car, then people might want to steal it, right? So if you have a nice job, people might want to knock you down.
You can't abuse power.
Especially if you do something bad. Like, I mean, okay, this makes more sense. Wait. If you're a bad person, but you just drive a really shitty car, no one's going to try and key your car.
Mm. And nobody can tell you're bad because your car's bad, so you look like it's consistent. Just appropriate. You're just consistent.
Yeah. You're blending into the background. Probably wearing a bad shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably shopping in a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are looking at you are probably bad.
Yeah, yeah. That's... eyewitnesses who themselves are committing a murder at the same time is, probably not reliable, right?
Oh, that's a great scenario. It's where it's two people being interviewed and they're the eyewitnesses for each other's murder. But it's two separate murders.
Right, yeah, separate unrelated murders.
Completely unrelated.
Right, so you're committing a murder and you glance across and you sort of look up to just wipe some blood out of your eyes, and you look across and you see another person committing a murder.
Yeah.
Right? And obviously it'd be interesting because while you're committing a murder, maybe your senses are really heightened anyway, right? Because you've got a lot of adrenaline. So you probably notice a lot of details.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe you'd actually be an excellent eyewitness.
It'd be like being on mushrooms or something.
Yeah.
Well, not that people on mushrooms are excellent eyewitnesses, but their senses are heightened.
The senses are heightened, right? So you're committing a murder. So it's like the perfect witness is somebody who's currently committing a murder because their senses are heightened, and also they are it takes a thief to catch a thief. You know, it takes somebody who is currently committing a murder to recognize someone else who is currently committing a murder.
Absolutely. And it would be so hard at a time like that to not get that instinct, like when two truck drivers are passing each other, to give a little wave.
Right.
You know, because
because
you're recognizing a lot of yourself in them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But also you would probably notice the differences a lot as well, right? So if you're doing a stabbing and somebody else is doing a shooting, right, you'd be like, oh, that's interesting. Because I'm doing a stabbing.
Mm. But I mean, if the other person's doing a stabbing and you're doing a shooting, but you're watching them stab, it'd be hard for you to not like have your arm go back and forth like that, sort of like you're...
Well, I guess one of the advantages is that a lot of people who commit murders like this probably don't have a lot of empathy, so they don't have that problem with mirroring neurons and temptation. And that might be quite good as well, because as a murderer, they're probably quite dispassionate, right? And they're able to observe things from the outside, you know, without getting emotionally involved. Because I think a lot of the time with eyewitnesses, their emotional response clouds their memory.
Yes.
Right? So somebody who is a psychopath
has
no emotional response, That's is able great. To, you know, see from the outside and be real clinical.
And so then they're just sitting sort of in separate interrogation rooms, and then they're trying to dub on each other to try to
I think it might be a TV show where we also see some reenactments with some point of view shots of like
from their own view while they're like, you know, you can just sort of see their hand sort of fake stabbing and then you see the head turn and it looks over
and you see the shooting
and then you see them wave at each other.
But if they're waving, like if they've got that professional regard for one another, then are they, like, why are they testifying against the other person?
Well, because they got caught.
Oh, sure.
Because I think there's just a chance of them lowering their sentence.
Yeah.
But they're not, like, they're not friends. They just, it's just for a moment there, they weren't alone in the world.
Right, of course. You know? Yeah.
And they got to forget about their problems. Maybe. You know, and maybe that if they had met a little bit earlier, maybe before the murder, they would have been able to sort of talk about the reasons that they wanted to kill somebody in that specific location where they both.
It's a crazy coincidence. Isn't
it's a
it?
Crazy coincidence.
It'd
and
be
it's
like
the kind
wearing
of thing,
the same shirt to work. Like, are you going to laugh about it or are you going to feel awkward?
Yeah, and I wouldn't be. And it's a lot of the time when you end up in a scenario where something is so unlikely like that, that it gives a moment more value, you know?
Right. Yeah, like, you really remember those crazy coincidences in your life.
Like, and when you meet somebody in that scenario, it makes it seem more special because it doesn't seem like it should have happened.
Yep.
And so I think it could really be the beginning of a great love story.
Wow!
Because now they're bound by this this unlikeliness,
this
coincidence so strong that maybe, you know, once they, I guess, both go to prison, something could blossom.
That's really nice. Twice while you've been talking, I've had an idea and gone, I've got to remember that, and forgotten it, and then got it back again and forgotten it.
Wow!
So that's disappointing. But have you written this down? Because I think that's a
Yeah. Witnesses were also committing murders. I've kind of written it down like that.
Yeah.
Hopefully we remember what that is. But if not...
The way I'm going at the moment, probably not.
Well, look, it'll come back to you. Do you think your idea was about committing murders?
Yeah, it was definitely about that. And it was, I'm going to say, really, really funny.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And what was worse was because I was trying to remember it, I couldn't really listen to what you were saying.
It's okay, yeah. And then that, you know, obviously that couldn't, our story couldn't go any further.
Yeah.
I was deep into turning this into a love story.
Yeah. And by trying to hold on to this thing, I've ruined what was right in front of me.
Yeah. And I guess, look, I guess I picture it, you know, like that scene in the first season.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Of True Detective, which is, I guess...
Haven't seen it, but yep.
Have you ever seen any photos from it, screenshots?
No.
It's basically just Matthew McConaughey sitting at the end of an interrogation desk. Maybe they got him some beers. But he's a, you know, he's an ex-cop, so it's not like he had done a bad thing. Maybe he didn't. I can't remember. But I think that's kind of like how I see it. Is they're in each, they're both in the room. I guess there's a lot of movies where there's that scene.
Yeah.
Where people are sitting in an interrogation room. Do they have interrogation rooms?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Police departments, are they going all open plan now? So is it more like hot desking?
Yeah, it could be.
Like there's a hot interrogation desk.
I already thought that the interrogations were, desks were pretty hot.
They're pretty hot.
Yeah. But
open plan, sort of, even the cells don't really have like fixed boundaries, right?
Nice.
So what the prisoner does is, I guess the prisoner has like a little backpack or something, and maybe they can sort of, there's a lot of mobile chaining stations right throughout the thing, so they can sort of be chained to wherever.
Yeah.
Right? And it allows a lot more flexibility and a lot more collaboration, a lot more creativity.
Mm.
Okay? Because like we're breaking down those boundaries.
Like jail cell walls.
Exactly. You know, really we were finding that the cell walls were putting up barriers between people. Okay.
Yeah.
And that is the kind of stuff that really eventually those walls, they stop being physical walls, they become mental walls.
Yeah, and I guess while you're at it, you could break down the barrier between sort of criminal and cop.
See, that's very interesting.
So I think like soccer went to the next level once once every player was an all-rounder, you know?
Right.
You know, and every player was both a defender and an offensive player,
yep.
You know? And I think maybe that's the way that cops should be and criminals should be. Cops should be both cops and criminals.
Yes.
And criminals should be criminals, but also cops.
But also, I think we have to recognize that a criminal who's done a murder, say, is worse than a criminal who's done, you know, just a robbery. You know, breaking and entering.
Yeah.
So why can't you have the person who's done the breaking and entering investigating the person who's done the murder? Because morally speaking, they're still superior to them, right?
Yeah,
and that's
right.
All you need. So you just need, like, down the chain,
mm-hmm.
you just need the shoplifting people to be investigating the breaking and entering, the breaking and entering people to be investigating the murderers.
The people who run red lights could be investigating the people who sort of, you know, ran people down on the street.
Yeah, exactly. And the people who run orange lights are investigating the people who... sure exactly what the investigation involves when you're investigating somebody who's run a red light.
But I mean, yeah, I think it's a good way that maybe you could lower your sentence and maybe lower the fine.
Oh, okay, that's really
good. You do some of the police work.
Well, okay, what about... So, because Catch Me If You Can, right? Mm. Sort of the end of that is that... Sorry if you haven't seen the movie. I'm going to spoil the ending of Catch Me If You Can.
It's a real life thing.
It's a real life thing.
Maybe don't talk about the movie. Just talk about the real life thing.
Oh, okay. Well, this isn't the movie. This is the real life thing that it was based on.
So, you're just spoiling this guy's Abagnale's real life.
Yeah. So Frank Abagnale Jr. is a con man who eventually winds up working for the FBI, helping them investigate...
Check fraud
and stuff like that. And starts a company and... turns out to be quite successful. Mm. Right. So what other things can we do that with? Like I feel like that's a particular kind of crime.
Yeah.
Right, where the specific knowledge that he had made him a good investigator.
Yeah.
But there must be sillier versions of that that we can...
Well, there's also the interesting aspect, which would be like going to see a careers advisor who's... saying like that you would be actually quite good at sort of being looking into check, you know, like being an investigator for check fraud. And so how do I get into that? Well, I think first that you kind of run a big check fraud ring.
Right.
you know, and you get a lot of contacts in that industry, and you know, and you know, you sort of you excel at your craft, and then you once you know the basics, but then not just the basics, the sort of the high end stuff. Then you get caught, obviously.
Well,
no,
before then, I think you develop a sort of a cat and mouse relationship with an older cop,
an
right?
older cop who will sort of act as a kind of father figure that you didn't have. Obviously, you got to get rid of your father.
Yeah. Is that going to be a problem?
Yeah, that's not. I mean, you really want to do this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I suppose Anyway, that is just one direction it could go. But another crime that you could commit. Maybe sort of like something where you like overfishing, maybe like overfishing abalone.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think I think you can still use the title "Catch Me If You Can" as well.
Absolutely, that's
so.
Yeah,
it really, you know, saved us a lot on. We can probably still use the same opening titles.
Oh, well, that's nice.
And
instead, like he's kind of just like we can just superimpose like one of those sort of shucking knives into his hand that you use for sort of prying the abalone off the rock.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm still traumatized, but I once went abalone fishing, right?
Yeah.
with a friend. We were snorkeling, mm-hmm. right, and we both had those knives, and. One of the the thing about swimming is that it involves sort of flailing your arms around in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about abalone getting is it involves holding a big knife.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you and your mate, me and my mate, swimming around and like you sort of focus, you're out of your element, you're in the water and you're focusing on two totally different and unusual tasks, which is swimming so you don't die and you know, prying abalones off the rocks with this big knife.
Yeah.
And like occasionally, you know, you can't do both those things in your mind at the same time. So for a while I was just focusing on swimming, totally forgetting that I had this huge knife in my hand.
Yeah.
I was swimming quite close to my friend and occasionally my mind just goes back to, I could totally have just stabbed him in the neck and I would not have, you know, it would have been utterly unwitting.
There is a third task that you're also completing when you do that, and that is not breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're underwater swimming.
Yeah.
Prying sort of creatures that are made for sucking up against rocks.
Holding onto rocks.
Yeah, and then also not breathing, which is something that you're accustomed to.
The abalones, really, they've only got one job to do,
yeah.
right? And that's a thing they do all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to do three things.
That you never do.
They never do.
Yeah. If I can avoid it. So then in this scenario, somebody is an abalone pirate or an abalone poacher.
Yeah.
And then he becomes.
I know one. There's a famous one in Tassie called Strawn. Somebody or other Strawn is his name.
Was he a Peter Hellier character?
I think he could have Strawny. It was
Is that what Peter Hellier based his character on? He later went into football.
That's right. Yeah. This guy was like a real, like, he was the Frank Abagnale Jr. of abalone crime.
Really?
He had this really, really fast boat with compartments in the bottom where he could store the abalone. And then if the police came close, he could dump the abalone out and he could also get away with them, away from them. And it is the thing because eventually the police took his boat and used his boat to, because the boat was so fast, used his boat to chase other abalone catchers.
Wow. Andy, I think we haven't come upon a sketch idea. We've come upon something that is inevitable.
Yeah.
Is that the criminal will eventually become the cop.
Or at least their boat will.
Yeah, or at least their boat will become a cop.
We might.
Boat cop.
Oh, okay. Can we go back? I think some kind of like the point where this was the closest to being funny for me was when it was police trying to break down the barriers in the police force.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that's good. Yeah. And so somebody's proposed it within the group.
Yeah.
And
it's a new, maybe it's like it's a new police commissioner who's come in from the world of business rather than from the world of policing. Right, you know, sometimes they'll hire someone who doesn't have any experience in making television to be the head of the ABC.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it could be something like that, or it could be also that it's like somebody who's here to reform and he's read some article about something they do in Scandinavia.
Yeah. Of course it would be. Yeah. It's in Denmark, all the prison cells,
yeah,
right, are just drawn on the ground with chalk, yeah, right? And all the police badges just have a question mark on them, right?
Yeah, and look, and like all the police, there's no difference between a prison cell, mm-hmm, and a police desk.
Yeah.
Each prisoner is given a computer and a badge and a gun.
And a caseload.
Yeah.
And when you get into the court, everybody is on is in the dock. Everybody stands trial, mm-hmm, simultaneously, because ultimately it's society that has to take responsibility, that is on trial. And
and then they try this and it half works for a bit, and then eventually the prisoners just start killing the cops. Right.
Yeah, I almost don't want to know. I don't want to see it trying to be reenacted now. I just want to see the Danish, like a documentary about the Danish justice system. Right?
Yeah. I think that makes sense. Yeah. Like, because it's, yeah, I think then that's a parody on all the studies and things that come out of Denmark and
about and how, you know, Finland, what we do is we pay the teachers really, really well. They pay the prisoners really, really well.
It turns out. Yeah, you could, and you each prisoner is given a big box that they can sleep in. You know, what? This has got to do with like Sweden or Norway or something like that. You know, like when a baby's born, they're given this box.
Oh, that's right, a box full of all this stuff that you need.
Yeah, but the box is also their first crib.
The box is edible. The box is made of other babies.
The box is made of breast milk, and yeah,
dry breast milk.
Yeah. In Denmark, every woman is a wet nurse.
That's right. Every woman is constantly lactating.
Yeah, and every man
is also lactating. We put hormones into the water, so everyone is always pregnant, and any baby can be suckled by any member of society.
Denmark's the best.
I think a series. I'm up now for a series of things about Denmark and their radical, you know, what do you call it? Liberal socialist or something like what is the democratic socialist approach? Of course, it's all. Well, this may not be true, but a lot of the reason that the stuff works or is possible in those countries is because they do have a huge amount of oil wealth from oil in the North Sea. Certainly for Norway, I think that's the case.
Yeah, right.
That's why they're able to fund so many of their social programs.
And also high income tax.
Right.
Yeah. And they're also hugely Islamophobic.
Are they?
I think a lot of these, like that was a joke, but I think a lot of those countries, as well as being very good socially and have all these kind of great programs, There's I think, a high rate of Islamophobia.
That's where Anders Breivik, he was Norway, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Or Sweden?
Look, I'm sure that a lot of these people are also, I'm sure it's like in Australia, which has a lot of its problems to do with Islamophobia.
Oh, hang on.
I'm sure that there's probably a big, large percentage of the population that are the best.
Yeah.
And then there's a few. Probably like 20-30% of the people who are really ruining it for everyone. Mostly people who are Islamic.
But they're all, to a person, tall and beautiful. That is, and I'm not backing down from that.
No, that's okay. Right. Anyway, I have a feeling that the next person to be called out in the media is going to be Andy Matthews for his inappropriate approaches to
everyone in Scandinavia.
Even though you are the most Scandinavian-looking person in the world, in a way, you were just looking in a mirror and just saying,
"I was
you're
talking
beautiful."
About myself. Yeah, I
almost just drowned.
Alistair is once again doing his really creatively passive-aggressive attack on me, which is by freaking in such a huge glass of water and then drinking it really like with huge gulps. And finally, it's had a It's come back to, drink me, you in the ass.
To drink me right in the ass. Yeah, it it just gave me the enema I deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, we technically have 5 sketches.
Look, I think that's great. I think we should bed this baby down
better
in a box from the Scandinavian government.
Scandinavian government. Although I do think Danish liberal approach sketches. I think.
That's a whole.
That's look. I think that kind of has a feel like, what was that? It was a series of TV shows. It was like they were like science-y kind of videos. Look around you.
Yeah,
remember,
look around
I wanted
you.
To like to kind of have. Well, it's got that kind of idea. Like to me, it has that feel. Not in that I want to recreate that feel.
Yep.
But in that, it's like. Oh, this is a new thing that I forgot that we could just do.
I think that's so great, and I would like that as a series with a particular like style and feel of shooting.
Yeah, it could all be in just in a, sort of a light sepia tone as well. Not sepia.
I'm not sure about sepia.
No, not sepia, but like you know, like it's been color graded in a way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Color graded. Sure. Yeah, sure. It's been color graded.
That isn't natural. Unnatural grading.
Well, it's that northern light, you know. Everything's under the northern lights constantly.
Are northern lights always green?
Yeah, always green.
Really?
Exclusively? Nah, I don't think they're always green. I think there are other colors.
Are there some blue ones?
There could be some blue.
Any red?
Might be a little bit of red.
Can you get a purple one?
Oh, there's a purple one.
Yeah. Andy, what about orange?
There's orange as
really?
Well.
Really?
Yeah, they have orange.
Well, it's all the colors of the rainbow. All right, we got Moat Mountain, which is a great new defense for medieval castles.
And the sketch writes itself.
The sketch writes itself.
It's a real easy format.
It's something that is both a moat and a mountain because those are two forms of defense for a castle. And we achieve it by creating a standing wave.
Yeah. And then I think does your castle then need to be floating on top of that wave?
I think it could be. I think there could be a mound of dirt underneath it. And the standing wave is
over the mound of dirt.
Unless it's a floating castle. But, you know.
It's surfing. It's constantly surfing up there.
It could sort of be a castle that you get from like National Geographic that sort of has magnets underneath it and kind of hovers and spins.
Oh, that's good.
So I think that'd be disorienting for the enemy as well.
And for the people in the castle as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
When they talk about, because they had serfs in that time. Is that what they're referring to? Serfdom? Is that something?
Yeah.
A surfing kingdom? Is that a serfdom?
It was a serfsupdom.
great.
So Moat Mountain. I guess they could try other types of way of doing Moat Mountain, you know, because maybe they could make one out of jelly, because jelly's kind of like a liquid.
Mm.
And so put a castle on some jelly.
Wibble wobble, wibble wobble.
Jelly on a plate. Anyway, we got calling out the ocean. That's gonna have. It's probably gonna be an onion headline or something like that soon.
Yeah.
That's the land that's been encroached upon by the ocean. This is probably an inappropriate sketch. Sorry about this one, but this is the sort of a possible Who's on First parody, where we sort of talk about like, you know, convenient punchline name.
I think.
But it's a puzzle sketch. But then within that, I've kind of also built in the idea of the cricket sketch where they take into account, you know, people's names and the puns that they will make when they recruit them. Because, I mean, really, it's quite difficult to tell the difference between the quality of two cricket players.
I think ultimately, and because a lot of people don't get good until, you know, they've been playing for a while, right?
Like,
I think Matthew Hayden, you know, I think he really came into his own a couple of years into his career. And
2 years into his career.
Probably, yeah. It felt like he got a lot of chances.
Yeah, right.
And then he was great.
Yeah, right.
For quite a while.
And now is he bad again now?
I think, he's out.
Oh, is he retired?
Yeah. Now he's presenting a gardening show.
Oh, no. Well,
but it wasn't good for a couple of years, but now?
Yeah, now he's great.
Now he's great.
He's got pulls weeds and everything.
I think it's called Home Ground. Anyway.
Home Ground, is that actually what it's called?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I don't know why it offends me so much. Witnesses. Okay, this is where it starts to get good, I think.
Yeah. We need a couple of sketches, much like Matthew Hayden. We need a few sketches under our belt to get anything.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Of any value.
Witnesses were also committing the murders. So this is two murders that were happening at the same time. Both people got caught. But the people, while they were murdering, they could see the other person murdering.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, to be honest, I'm worried now that Law & Order are going to steal this because they are desperate for... They are desperate for a storyline right now.
Yeah.
And the double murder, double witness.
They love ripping things from today's headlines.
Yeah, maybe from today's podcast.
Rip from today's punchlines.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if they both double witnessed a double murder.
Wow. Well, see, I think that's what Law & Order would do because they often like to heighten things as well.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got four victims.
Mm-hmm.
I guess would you, if it's one person committing both murders, is that still do you still get to be considered a double witness? Or do you think you'd have to watch two separate people murder one person each?
It's tricky because I don't know if double witness is actually a thing. So I don't know whether or not you could or couldn't be one of those.
Well, also, what, double murder is a thing, but there's no double witness. You could be a double murderer, but you can't be a double witness. Yeah, right. So why?
Can you have an attempted witness? You can have an attempted murder.
An attempted witness is somebody who ran after a guy who he thought was going to commit a crime, and then he did.
You heard something happening around the corner. You're like, oh, God, I might get there and see it.
Yeah.
But you didn't quite make it there in time. Surely your testimony still has some kind of value. If you can be charged with attempted murder, you can be heard in court as an attempted witness. Look, I wasn't there, but I wanted to be. I would have been.
Please, listen to what I have to say. And then the judge is like, I'll allow it. Look, I'm writing down attempted witness.
You know, I've all my life, it's even premeditated, this witnessing, because I've been all my life been preparing for this, buying binoculars.
Doing memory courses.
Doing memory courses, eavesdropping a lot.
Hanging out in bad neighborhoods.
Killing people so that I can see what it looks like when it happens.
So that hopefully I can recognize it when I see it.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, all right. And then there's the Danish liberal approach. Series of sketches, possibly a web series that will that'll win many web series awards.
Great. I think it's good to set those kinds of boundaries and parameters before we even start writing it. Right? Like people say, oh, such and such, the writer of an award-winning TV show, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But very often they'll only say that after it's won those awards.
Yeah.
Or, you know, at least, you know, we're saying that even before it's been produced, even before it's been written.
And look, and I very rarely ever say that about anything that I would ever do.
He's currently writing an award-winning series.
Yeah. I think it's like
his award-winning series is about to go into production.
You got to call it for it to really matter.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, they did, you know, and this feels like a very Danish liberal approach, but is to all the students at the start of the year, you tell them they got an A, right?
Great.
And then you just see what they produce, right? So, Alistair, I'm telling you right now, you've won six AFIs.
At the school, they give them A's at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
Right? And they tell them to go home.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. At school, at the start of the year, they give them all a job as doctors in a hospital, in a working hospital.
That's really good.
Yeah, and you find that children under that, in that circumstance, really achieve their potential. They rise to the occasion because you've demonstrated to them confidence in them.
It's kind of like a reverse battle royale.
Mm.
We make a class of kids, all doctors, and we put them on an island. And the first one to die, to save a life. Okay, maybe. Yeah, I was gonna say the first one to die loses, rather than the last one to be alive. But
what's that got to do with them being doctors? I mean, surely the first one to die loses in almost any scenario.
Yeah, I know. In my mind, that was the joke. But,
it
could be the first one to save, or the last one to save a life.
The person who saves the most lives. Look, it's the last one to be struck off the register for medical negligence.
Okay, so they still sell.
Wins.
You know, so they still have, like, adult men with guns and stuff trying to hunt them down.
Oh, wow.
Right, like on Battle Royale. Have you ever watched Battle Royale?
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, that's all right. I think it's essentially like a...
Hunger Games?
Yeah, but like they definitely stole that from Hunger Games, I think.
They stole it from Hunger Games?
I mean, Hunger Games definitely stole it from them.
Really?
I would say so. Battle Royale. Look, who knows? You know, Battle Royale, I don't think has all the big society thing with people with weird wigs and shit like that.
In France, they call it a Battle Royale with cheese.
They call it a Big Mac. That's really funny. Wait, what is the actual thing? Is it a Big Mac? So
he said a Big Mac, yeah. He says in
Royale with cheese.
In France, they call it a Royale with cheese. It doesn't work on any level, Alistair. There's nothing that can be done with this.
I think they could call it, in France, they called Battle Royale, Battle Big Mac.
Without cheese. That is nothing. That is, oh wow. I mean, if it is something, it's the flimsiest gossamer of something.
I am gonna look. I mean, it's technically yours, so you have to tweet it. But if you don't want to tweet it, that is absolutely the kind of thing I would tweet, and I will happily take the 35,000 retweets it will get.
All right, I'll tweet it then.
No, you want to tweet it. No, yeah, that's cool. You go for it.
It feels like something you would tweet, Alistair. I think
Andy,
you should tweet it.
Andy, I am absolutely cannot, on the record, steal your joke. Even though I helped craft it.
You certainly did, Alistair.
But I want the embarrassment to be all yours now.
Great.
But
I'll take it.
At least anybody who listens to this podcast will know that you're not entirely to blame. I coerced you into doing it.
Thank you. Right. And if anyone can work out what it was that I was trying, was the joke that was really funny that I was going to make about the people witnessing each other's murders, you know, that'd be great.
That'd be great. Right in. So we do the beat part and then we'll go and do the wrap up.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I feel like it had a bit of a weird energy, this one, you think?
Yeah, I know, but Andy, you've been breathing in bleach all day.
Yeah, that's true. I have breathed in a lot of bleach.
Yeah, so Andy has developed a bleach addiction.
I've got that bleach bod.
He's got that bleach bod. It's a good thing to say about somebody who's very white.
Yeah, and I am that.
Yeah, great.
So I'm Tweet ready it. For summer.
Yeah.
Got that bleach bod.
Got my bleach bod.
Oh, my lungs.
Yeah, great. So you can find us on Twitter at AlistairTB. He's at Stupid Old Andy. And That's then right. It's also at Two and Tank for the team.
It's us.
You know, and you can find us on Facebook. You can also, if you want to support the show, you can go onto patreon.com/twoandtank. You can donate. We finally installed that thing that says if you donate $3, you can send us some words.
Oh, yeah. So this is our new, like, reward or whatever you call it. Patreon level gift thing.
Yeah.
If you give us $3 on the Patreon, you can submit 3 words, which will become the basis for a sketch.
Oh, yeah. And so that, since we're wrapping up this episode, we won't do it now, but one person has started doing that and we will use his words in the next episode because there's nobody to pick from. And he's already got some good words in there.
I'm really excited. I'm really looking forward to it. How do people give us the words?
Well, I haven't written in the thing, but I think you could either just tweet at us or just – I think, look, do it on the Facebook because it'll send people to our Facebook. Yeah. Facebook too in the Think Tank Pan. And then also it'll all keep it in one place because I think the Twitter, that'll just kind of be a mess and with all the likes and everything like that.
Oh, we get so many likes.
Well, we don't get that many likes. But anyway, we get too many likes, guys. Stop liking our stuff. And
it's overwhelming.
And you know what? I hope you have a really good life.
And we
love
you.
You.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.